Blog Talk Radio.
Living in the moment.
Welcome to Teachable Moments with your host, Amber Waters Porter. Prepare to enjoy conversations and practical discussions with biblical principles that inform, inspire, and lift your spirits to new heights. Listen weekly as you live in the moment and allow God to speak wisdom to your life. Now, find your moment with your host, Amber Waters Porter.
Happy Tuesday, everyone. Welcome back to Teachable Moments. I am your host, Amber Waters Porter. Tonight we have Pastor Carolyn Porter from Philadelphia, who is going to finish up the questions tonight. Welcome, Pastor Porter. How are you?
Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored, my dear. And how are you?
I've been battling a sore throat and just getting my voice back, as you can hear, kind of froggy, and you are under the weather. So this flu season is something else.
Yes, it is.
But I'm okay. I'm on some medication, so I'm trying to get all the way well. But before we get into our questions, because we had so many rough questions to ask last week, I just want to say, go Eagles. Make sure we're praying for both the Eagles and the Patriots. But we live in Philadelphia, so our team is the Eagles. So the Eagles team is our franchise. So we just want to wish that, you know, both teams remain healthy and well. But E-A-G-L-E-S, we need them to bring it home for us this time. It's been a while,
absolutely, so. Absolutely. Go Eagles.
That. So last week we had a question that I was able to get some feedback from that night. Right away I got a response and feedback. The question the young lady asked. So I'm just going to just remind everyone of the question that she asked was a question about relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I recently began a new relationship with a guy I dated years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It appears to be heading for marriage. We both love the Lord, though I have a closer walk with the Lord. I told my friend I wanted to keep this relationship on the right path by not engaging sexually. How do I continue to emphasize this without constantly overemphasizing it? How do I combat his advances when he tries to break me down? How do I reestablish boundaries if I've messed up already and let it go too far one time? And so basically your instructions to the young lady was to be creative in your dating, keep it in the street, keep it out amongst other people, to revisit with him a conversation about where the relationship was going and make plans for the future. If that's where it's going, then we need to do some things to prepare for that. And I heard back from the lady, I guess within a half an hour right after the show, and she had to go back on and listen to the response again. But she said that she received that, and she was absolutely going to try what you said, and she's been trying that pretty actively since last week. And so she said it's been working so far, and she's waiting to have that conversation, but she's keeping the relationship and the dating out and not where it can get kind of sticky, or it's late, seeing them late, or coming over to her home, whatever. So I just wanted to give you that feedback.
Also, remember, Sister Amber, I suggested that they do premarital counseling.
Counseling, yes, you did.
That's key for both of them.
I believe she said she was waiting to have that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
with him.
Excellent.
But she's definitely taking that advice. And so far, the keeping the dating, because she really, really wants to do the right thing and live to please God for this relationship to stay on the right path.
Good. Well, the only thing that I did not add that I thought about afterwards was this. If she sees or if they feel, even after the premarital meeting with the counselor or pastor, whomever, if they really see that things are progressing positively, she may want to plan her wedding in a short period of time rather than extending, oh, well, we have to buy a house, we have to, you know, we've got to save money. You might want to shorten your engagement time and get married so that you don't have to worry about lust and of the flesh.
Right, because most people prepare for the wedding, but they don't
exactly
prepare for the marriage. So that's
exactly
really good advice. And most of it is about the fluff and the flair. And,
exactly.
I get it because I want it, but, you know, you can go ahead and just do your vows secretly and privately or have a few people on and have a big reception later. There are other things that you can do. So
exactly.
Those are really good suggestions. So we did still have some heavy-hitting questions, some heart wrenching questions. So I want to go ahead get to those questions, and I hope I can get to them today. I'm sure you want to start with the easy stuff. So I'll give you one easy one, but I really want to get to those questions. It says, I love my church. The ministry is good. The word is good. But my pastor speaks horribly to his wife in public. What can I do, if anything? What would I do if I could?
I think first and foremost, I would suggest that the individual, male or female, that they just pray. Really just cover and bathe the pastor and his wife in prayer, bathe them. And then you may want to say very sincerely and sweetly, Pastor, I've just been praying for you, and I've just been praying for you and your wife. And say the same thing to the wife. Say it to them separately, and say it individually. And you can go back and emphasize, you know, the Lord's just been really vested you in my heart. I've just been carrying you in prayer, First Lady, I'll say. You know, I've just been covering you. You don't have to get into specifics. You go give her a big hug. Just let her know you have her in your heart and you're praying for her. Same thing with the pastor. Says you have to hug him real hard, but just let the pastor know, I'm carrying you in prayer. That's the first thing. And after the season, you may even ask some of the seasoned a mother board or the trustees or someone, not a lot of people, just maybe someone you really have confidence in or someone that you see as the pastor has confidence in or travels with or whatever, and just ask them if they'll join you in prayer, praying for the pastor. You may say something like, I had a sense that they just need to be prayed for, just need covering. Eventually, you may want to speak to the pastor's wife. First lady, if you have anything, if you need to talk to me, if everything is not all right, I'm here. Again, not being specific, not poking your nose into their business, just if you need to talk, I'm here. And then, again, you may want to consider looking at the trustees or the deacon or the steward, however the leadership board is put together, and maybe ask them, do you think something is wrong with the pastor? Or, just kind of approach it gingerly, very tenderly, very diplomatically, very discreetly, and that's where I would leave it. Because, the Bible says, we say in the marriage ceremony, whom God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. And what goes on between husband and wife is husband and wife. It's not really the church's business. Although if it's spilling over into the church, you may want to ask the pastor, are you, when something is said ugly or at a difficult time, you know, it's really tense or stressed, pastor, are you all right? It's just the way you present it, the way you approach it. First thing, are you all right? Can I help you? What do you need? That kind of thing. And just trust the word of God. Trust the power of prayer. Trust the love and concern that you and maybe one or two other missionaries or church mothers or whatever show in an instant like that. Trust the Lord to work it out.
So what do you say to, you know, those who would say, well, if he can't treat his wife right, then he's not doing what the word says. Or people who encourage, you should leave that church because if the head is not right, then the rest of the body is not going to be right.
Again, should you approach the pastor and first lady, maybe at breakfast or lunch or together, or tell them, yeah, I was considering leaving the church, or, you know, it has been suggested because, and again, it comes with apology. It comes very discreetly, you know, very diplomatically, that there seems to be something amiss here, and I don't want to intrude, but, you know, or, Pastor, I was terribly embarrassed when I went my friend to church last Sunday, and she asked me why you spoke to your wife like that. Just put it out there. But again, gingerly, diplomatically, you know, humbly, you know, and let him see and know and feel your heart. Like that's the best I can say. Because single people ain't got no business getting into grown people's mess. Okay?
Right.
And you can't be disrespectful, no matter how angry or how upset or disturbed you are. You've got to respect your elders. And that's, again, why I said you might want to ask a senior, seasoned, experienced prayer warrior to pray with you about it. You know, maybe they're unaware of it. And the flip side of it, maybe you don't know what she said to him.
Okay. All right, but it shouldn't be spilling over into the church.
Right, exactly.
Right.
True.
Okay, I got to ask you this hard one. Let's switch over to something hard. It says, my aunt has cancer and is transitioning. I'm not sure about her salvation. If I talk to her at this time, can she hear me? Can she accept the Lord, or is it too late?
As long as there's life, there is hope. My response to this problem, this matter, is this. When I worked at the Salvation Army years ago, the colonel named Colonel Skinner said to me one night about someone that was transitioning at the hospital there. She said the last sense that goes in death is hearing.
Hmm, that's interesting to know. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I also looked it up because I did not know that.
Okay.
But so I'm saying since that's the last sense to go, they may not be able to see, they may not be able to eat or taste or touch, but they can hear. And so it was suggested to me by the colonel that when you are sitting with someone transitioning, speak to them as though they can hear you. You don't have to scream or weep or whatever. Just get right there with them, hold their hand, and say what you need to say. And that may be the sinner's prayer, as it's called. It may be just leading them in a word of prayer. Let me just say this. A very dear friend of ours, mine passed just last month or December when I went over to Jersey to the funeral. Mm-hmm. And they said, as she lay there transitioning, hospice she was in, her son couldn't get there, mm-hmm. but they put the phone to his ear, to her ear. Mm-hmm. And as he expressed his love for her and so forth and so on, she couldn't see, she could not speak, but tears, when she heard his voice, tears ran down her cheek. And a matter of hours later, she was gone. So, yes, lead them to Christ. Pray with them. Pray for them. Explain the scripture. And just prepare their heart and mind to meet their maker. Never mind the crown. Never mind the stars. Never mind the robe, all the things that we say. Mm-hmm. Just focus on getting them to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Matthew says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And it's best to say comforting scriptures about salvation. She'll hear. She will hear.
That's interesting, because you often you just don't know, but God looks at the heart. You know, it's like, well, I couldn't get them to say it, but
you
realize God actually looks at the heart. He doesn't.
Right.
You know, we are the ones who get so caught up in appearances and what we can see.
Exactly.
But we have no idea what her heart or his heart or anyone's heart is saying. So that's really important. And that goes along not with people who are just transitioning, but people who are sick at home
exactly.
or in a hospital or
exactly.
hospice or in comas as well. I mean, I guess they can hear there as well. I don't know, but I know when my brother and his son was there, there's not too much he can remember, but certain things he says he remember hearing.
Exactly.
And he came back and he asked me, did you say such and such and such? Or did Crystal say something such and such? So that's a really good point, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I can appreciate that example about the funeral that you just attended. That when
mm-hmm.
once she heard her son's voice,
that's it.
Her tears ran, and
that tear ran out of her eyes. And everyone said she was waiting to speak to him or waiting
wow.
to hear from him. Once she heard, she had peace. Now, mind you, she was born again and spirit filled.
Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so special. Makes you think.
Yes.
Really makes you think. Okay, so this is a really relevant with what's going on in society right now. It's all over the news. It's all over the talk shows. You can see the signs, the protests everywhere with the Women's March a few days ago, a week ago or so. But it says, a young lady said, with the new outbreak of the Me Too movement, I feel empowered to share my experiences of sexual harassment and abuse. I struggle with my personal motives as well as with my timing. Am I being authentic? Am I being an opportunist? Or am I taking advantage of this moment that has opened up to get rid of my inner secrets? That's a loaded question.
Yes, it is. I tend to think the best thing for this individual to do is to ask herself these questions, really seek her own truth. You know how I say there is truth, then there is truth.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So granted, there is an outbreak, there is a Me Too movement, And obviously women of all stations in life, young and old, have experienced some type of molestation, some type of abuse, whether it's physical, sexual, and so forth and so on. And there are so many people that are coming out saying, you know, I've been there, I've experienced it years and years ago. I never told anybody, or I told my mother, I told whomever, they didn't do anything. Yes, that's what's on the news, it's on the internet, it's in our homes and in our churches. Yes, that's a reality. These things, these harassments and abuses and struggles have been going on forever. And if we actually would go all the way back, we have our own ancestral sister slaves that could stand up and testify from here across the United States. Right. So with that being said, I think the young lady has to just stop and see. Really examine your own motives. And if this is the time, everybody's coming out the closet and expressing it. Come on. You want to come? Come on. But in your coming, you need to consider yourself, is this, why am I doing this? And at this point in time, how was my life affected? Am I okay? Am I in a good place? Did I meet the Lord and cast all of this excess baggage and upsetment and disturbances in my life? Did I cast it on the Lord and forgive the man, forgive myself, and I've moved on? That's one point. On the other, are you still harboring grief and anger and resentment? Mm-hmm. And in your coming out and in your speaking against the individual, your truth, it is your truth, in your saying that, only you know what your motive is. What do you want to happen? If you tell it, are you healed? As you tell it, are you relieved of, at least I have confronted him or her? Because some young men have the same story to tell
right.
now.
Right.
If you confront them, what do you want? What are you looking for? Now, these wealthy people are paying settlements, and they're saying my life was ruined. I can't work. I can't get myself together. I've had to have therapy, or I couldn't afford therapy. What do you want to happen as a result of this? If your pop-pop did it, and your pop-pop is 89 years old, half blind, on a cane, in a wheelchair, what do you want him to do? Want to lock him up and put him in jail? He's retired. You can't strip him from his job. He only has Social Security coming, and he can't get the check if you want that. I'm just saying, what do you want to have? Do you just want an open apology? Yes. Own it. If that's satisfied, just tell me, yes, I did it when I was 15, 18, 20, 30. I was out of order. Would that suffice? Is that satisfied? Or do you really want him locked up and put in jail? You know, I'm just saying, so you, the individual asking the question has to ask her own self or his own self, what do you want? Is it comforting sufficiently to just tell the truth to somebody, counselor, preacher, therapist, family member? And what do you do if the individual's dead and buried, been dead and buried for the last 40 years? Only you can decide that. But I love the saying that Bishop O.T. Jones says, all is known and all is forgiven. In the very end, at the end of all of these coming out, people going in, whatever, in the end, they must accept healing, give healing, depending on which group, where they are. They must own it or deny it if it didn't happen. Some things are just, you know, pigmentation of some people's imagination. Some people just making up things to hurt you. So you just have to get down to the root cause of it and deal with it. But in the end, somebody's got to say, I am forgiven, or I forgive you. Even if you don't tell it to the person, and if it's, like I said, Papa's dead, buried, or grandmama's, you know, then scooped the coop, lost her mind, sitting up in the, you know, in the psych ward, you know. At some point, somebody's got to say, enough is enough. I'm not going to let this ruin the rest of my life or ruin the rest of my thinking towards men or towards women or, most of all, towards myself.
So, yeah. And I think it's also equally important in her search for those answers for herself to ask, can she deal, if she lets it out, can she deal with the consequences, whatever they may be,
absolutely,
that come from it? Because
absolutely,
you may get that apology, but then you may get a family that raises up towards you and they come out after you, and or just people shaming you as if you did something wrong and it happened to you. And this is male or female, because men and women rape and abuse and molest. So, you know, you have to look at your motives to wanting to do it, and can you
exactly
deal with the consequences?
Exactly.
When it's done, because
exactly,
sometimes that's even more greater. That can be more horrifying than telling the story or just reliving the story to even tell it and tell it accurately. And sometimes that's just sometimes it can be the best thing. You know, you can feel free. Some people can take the attitude, well, you know what, I got it out, I said it, and it's all for me.
Exactly.
I just needed to express it. I just need to say it. I just need to tell someone, and then they can live free, and they can have the best life from then on. And
exactly,
it doesn't work out that way. So, and all of their considering, they have to consider everything.
You know, another thing too, Amber. Some people, some adults, or some people, women, men, and women. Some people are strong enough to have never told what happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
Get over it and keep on living,
right,
you know. But they may be extremely careful, extremely,
right,
or that's with their own children or with,
right,
their grandchildren. You know, they be very precautious with those around. But some people have the moxie to just go on.
Right.
They never.
Yeah, that's true. They do. And it's not weak by not telling. That's
exactly
an incredible amount of inner strength to just move on and not allow it to affect your life. And it doesn't mean that there won't be some things, as you said, some
mm-hmm
things that they're very careful about. They don't let their children spend a night out. Or
exactly, exactly.
Very close watch. They don't
mm-hmm
allow too many family members, and no one can come into their home, or just other ways it shows out. But those are some things you might not want to do so freely anyway these days. So just the level of perversion that's going around in this world.
This is true.
So just have to be very, very careful. You have to be careful at school. You have to be careful at home, in the restaurants. Don't let your children go to the bathroom by themselves. You just have to be so careful with everything. And I was just telling someone yesterday, you got to be careful. Don't just tell your child, if anybody does anything to me, you better tell me. I said, you also have to tell them, if you tell your mom or you tell this to a person, I'm going to do something to them. I said, you have to tell your child, you know what, tell me anyway, God will take care of me, so that they won't have that fear. Because sometimes they'll tell you, but when they threaten to hurt their mom or something, they might not say anything. But that's all the time we have for the questions. I hope to get a response back, and we'll be moving on to the next show. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Pastor Porter. Find your moment.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye.